So how many of you guys are ready for the word this morning? Amen. All right. So if you would, turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, all this month we've been talking about being made new and what that means, all right? We talked about coming to Christ. We talked about how that He makes us new when we receive Him as Lord and Savior and forgives us of our sins. Then we talked about renewing our minds and then renewing our hearts last week. And this week we're going to talk about the power of our attitude, renewing our attitude. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, all this week long that I've been studying this message, I couldn't wait to get it over with because I have had my attitude checked 100,000 times this week. So I'm going to deliver this to you and then I'm going to forget about this message, all right? Because it's hard. Changing your attitude is difficult. And so this morning, we're going to tackle this. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 says this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and putting on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for the worship this morning. I thank you for the testimonies of healing that's going to come out of our prayer time today, this morning. I thank you for our missionaries, God. We bless them in the name of the Lord. And this morning, we bless your word. And we ask, Father, that your word would penetrate our hearts into our will that ultimately changes our life. And so, Lord, we ask your anointing upon this aspect of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. So what this truly means is that this is a deliberate act by you. This isn't something that we pray and walk away from, to take off the old self and to put on the new self, to make the attitude of our heart and our minds be transformed. These are deliberate acts. This is not mysticism. This is not magic. This is not pixie dust. This is a deliberate act done by you, the believer, that God will back by His power to renew not only your heart, not only your mind, not only your spirit, but your attitude as well. People think sometimes that attitude isn't spiritual. I'm going to be honest with you. It is. Someone rightly said that attitude, not aptitude, determines one's altitude in life. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about three different facts about your attitude. You guys ready for this? Number one, your attitude reveals the real you. All right? Your attitude reveals the real you. Your attitude represents your disposition, your outlook, and your character. Your attitude is more important than facts, circumstances, what others say. It's more important than your past, your education, and your finances. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." Remember, your attitude reveals the real you. All right? Illustration. So if there's this, if I have a jar, okay, now I have to hold up a fake jar because I forgot my jar this morning. All right? So imagine I have a jar in my hand and it's see-through, okay, and I've got it full of water, and I put a lid on it, and I just loosely fasten it, and I shake it up as much as possible. What do you think's going to happen? Water's going to spill over, right? Water's going to spill over because the lid was not fastened tightly enough, and that's what we view our attitude as. We can't hide what is within us. No matter how hard we try to lock it down or tighten it up or put as much tension as we possibly can around it, when your jar is shaken, what is in you is going to come out. How many of you guys, when you were a little kid, you had those, it's a little box that has a crank on the side of it. What's it called? Jack in a box, right? So you have this jack in a box, right? And you got this little crank and you're turning it, and it's got this little music, and the quicker you turn it, the music goes, and you don't know exactly when this thing's going to pop out, but you know it's going to pop out, right? And that's kind of how our attitude is as well. No matter how hard we try to lock it down, no matter if we put music to it to make it a little smoother when the thing comes out, it's still going to come out no matter how hard you try to lock it down. What is inside of us is going to eventually come out. And by the way, none of us have control over it. If you have a bad attitude, it seeps in not only to your mind and to your heart, but it saturates the atmosphere that you are around. A bad attitude infects everything and everyone. And no matter how hard we try to decorate our jar, no matter how if we put music to it or whatever we try to do to it, it's going to come out eventually. Whatever shakes your jar is going to cause it to overturn. Now, Jesus was talking about this very thing in Matthew 15, verse 17 through 20. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were upset at Jesus again. This was like a regular thing for them, right? The Pharisees, they couldn't hear his message because they had a critical spirit. How many of you guys know somebody has a critical spirit? Can't be around them. No matter what good is happening around them, it's not good enough. That doesn't come just from a bad day. That comes from a bad attitude that has seeped inside of our hearts. And here, the Pharisees were upset with Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, in their society, that was a big deal. It wasn't law, it was tradition. Okay? There's a difference between law and tradition, correct? All right, I can't take you to jail because you broke my tradition. I can take you to jail because you broke the law, right? So there's a difference. But here, the Pharisees are very upset because maybe one of the disciples didn't eat or didn't wash their hands before they eat. They ate, and Jesus said this in Matthew 15, 17. Are you still so dull? Man, I love the way Jesus talks. I love it. Jesus told a guy one time, he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Who says that, right? Scripture says that Jesus is the meek and the lowly one, but yet Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, are you guys so dull that you can't understand this truth? Jesus called them a brood of vipers. He said, not only are you a brood of viper, but your mama is a brood of viper too. That's tough stuff, right? Coming from the meek and lowly one, right? Jesus was militant in his day, but he coupled that with meekness and kindness as well. Jesus said, are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Understand this. We don't have a bad attitude, again, just because we had a bad day. All a bad day can do is shake our jar. That's what a bad day does. A bad day shakes our jar. It stirs up what is inside of us, and what comes out inside of us cannot be contained. Either it's a bad attitude, or it's what God has established inside of us. The reason we have a bad attitude is because you have a bad attitude inside your jar. So remember, your attitude reveals the real you. No matter how hard you try to dress yourself up, you cannot hide a critical spirit, a bad attitude. It comes up in conversations. In a conversation, I've given testimony before where God has healed my body. And I remember somebody saying, well, they were very critical of the healing in my body. They tried to get me to second guess that God had healed me. Well, are you still healed today? Of course I'm still healed today. He touched me last week and that made me whole. Right? I had a pinched nerve in my back and or my shoulder killing me. And God spoke to the speaker that night and he asked me to stand up and he said, the Lord is healing your body. And as soon as he said that, I was healed. You know what the cool thing was? Is that the lady behind me was dealing with the exact same thing. And she stretched her hand toward me and she became healed as well. As soon as she stretched her hands toward me, she had the right attitude. She didn't just go, well, that young man stood up way before me, and I can't believe that. He stole my blessing. He stole my healing. Instead, she stretched her hand toward me and asked God to heal me, and because of that, she was made whole. To me, that's the miracle. The miracle wasn't that Jesus healed me. The miracle was the lady behind me. She had the right attitude. Her jar was shaken in that moment. And what came out was faith, knowing that God was going to heal me and was going to heal her as well. And because of it, she was healed. That's the miracle, right? Our attitude determines our altitude, right? Number two, your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. I'm just going to let that one soak in for a minute. If I could, I'd give us about 60 seconds of silence. But it's the truth. Your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Bad attitudes affect your marriage, your relationship with your kids, at work, at church, friends, you name it. Case in point, Moses and his brother and sister. Let's take a look at that. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. We're just going to keep these Bibles moving this morning, all right? Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 11. Interesting story. Now Miriam and Aaron are Moses' brother and sister, okay? And they begin to oppose their brother Moses. Verse 1 in Numbers 12 says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. Now I want you to remember that, all right? For he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this? Now Moses was a very humble man and more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. Can anybody tell me who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses did. Right? I just think that's so funny. At once the Lord said to Moses, that's like me writing a letter saying that I'm the most humble man on the face of the earth. That just shows you the humanity of people who are writing scripture, right? Love that about Moses, all right? So at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out of the tent of meetings, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When the prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Boy, that's a hard question. The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam with leprosy. Her skin was like snow. Aaron stood toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. And here's the thing. Moses was being slandered by his brother and sister. Now, most people who stir up trouble do so not out of right reasons, but out of a bad attitude. The fact that Moses married a Cushite wife was not the real problem. It was just the shaking of the jar for his sister, Miriam. That was just the symptom. The real problem was that Miriam had a long-standing bad attitude. She was jealous of her brother, of her brother's position and leadership. She allowed herself to become part of the problem. How many of you guys have allowed yourself to become part of the problem at some point in your life? All of us should have our hands up. All of us. And it starts with just a little bit of complaining here and there. Unchecked complaining. Bickering and murmuring. Well, I can't believe Pastor Jimmy decided that we're going to do this. I can't believe this. We need to form a committee. We need to talk to him. We need to sign some letters. We need to do this. I'm not saying anybody in here has done that, okay? I'm just making stuff up, all right? But the situation is real. I've seen this done in churches all the time. They start to slander and complain. They start to backbite the pastor or the leadership or whatever simply because we changed course or because the Lord told us to go this way and so we're going that way, or whether it be at your workplace. Backbiting your boss, affecting the atmosphere, spewing out things in your jar that you thought that you could contain, but a bad attitude you cannot contain. It's going to come out. And when it comes out, you feel justified. You feel right. That's why Scripture tells us in Ephesians that our disposition should be the same as that of Christ. The disposition of humility, because humility recognizes a critical spirit. And we're all going to have a critical spirit at some point in our life. Trust me, I dealt with it all week long. While I was going through this all week long, I had an opportunity and I checked myself before I would wreck myself, right? So it's important that we begin to take stock in ourselves. And just like Miriam and Aaron, they begin to murmur and complain. And they said this, "Did not God also speak to us? Is Moses the only one that God speaks to?" And God heard that. He heard that conversation. And the Lord said, "Moses, call your brother and your sister here to the tent of meetings, please, so that we can have a family powwow." And the Lord said to Miriam, "I speak to my prophets how I want to speak to my prophets, but to Moses, I speak face to face without riddles, and I will speak to him in how I see fit because he is faithful." And then he said, "Why have you sought that it is right to have a bad attitude toward your brother?" And so the Lord goes directly to the issue. Miriam brought up the fact that he married a lady that was not a Hebrew. And that wasn't the problem at all. We need to understand and remember that your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Whether it be your husband, your wife, your kids, whether it be your boss, your pastor, your leadership, the person walking down the road, your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Number three, your attitude is always your choice. Right? Your attitude is always your choice. Let me give you an example. Two men in a prison cell. Both have the same window, the same set of bars to look out. Two of them look out. One looks out and all he sees is mud. All he sees is just bleakness. The other one goes up to the window, looks out, and he sees the stars, he sees the moon, the Milky Way, he sees God's creation, and he marvels at all of it. What's the difference there? It's the attitude of choice. It's the attitude of choice. The human mind is God's best creation, no doubt about it. With it, we have the ability to think, to reason. In every one of our lives, there is the positive and the negative, the choice as to which one we will focus on and feed is solely up to you. Which one are you feeding today? Which one are you allowing to grow and to become healthy and to become more ornery and become more disobedient? Which one are you feeding? Because I'm going to be honest with you, this walk with Christ is a hard walk. That's why we need the Spirit of God to lead us, to change us. That's why we're talking about being made new. Being made new means that there is a new way of thinking. There is a new way of loving. There is a new attitude that we need to have in our life. And without the Spirit of God, nothing changes. Jesus didn't come to just change our habits. He came to set us free and to create inside of us a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. You guys have been made new. You have a new lease on life. You have a new opportunity to be somebody that you always hoped you could be, but you can't do it unless you're in Christ. The attitude that we possess is solely on us. That's why Scripture says, and we'll go back up to it here, in Ephesians 4:22. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Who puts off the old self? You do. You do. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, we can't choose what happens to us today. We can't choose that. We can't choose if we go out and get into a fender bender, or if we, for instance, Dana and I, we went shopping one time, and we were in TJ Maxx, and we were walking in the parking lot, and this lady almost backs into us. And there was kind of a little bit of an altercation there. My wife was, she was getting hot. And I said, honey, it ain't worth it. Let's just go on. And the woman started mouthing off again. And it got heated. And we have an opportunity at this. I tell on ourselves all the time. Why am I doing this? Right? Because it's real. Right. And so, the end result is that we chose to have a good attitude about it. That could have deteriorated immediately, instantaneously, just like that. How many of you guys have been in those situations? Right? You're having a good day. Man, you're zippity-doo-dah all day long. You're having a great day. And all of a sudden, something shakes your jar. You know, the thing about our jars, right, is we can't determine when they're going to be shaken. We can't. We can't determine when we're going to face loss. We can't determine when someone's going to yell at us or swear at us or cut us off on the freeway. Or some of us can help it by our speed and the way we drive, of course. But we can't help some of the things that happen to us in our life. We just can't do it. But what we can do is determine our attitude in the process. I want to read a story to you. So forgive me for just straight reading, but it's every word's important, and I want you to get the gist of it. There's a man named Robert. He was always saying, I have everything I need for joy. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth. Can't comb his hair or put his clothes on. Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk, but it didn't keep him from graduating high school or attending Abilene Christian University, where he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having this disease didn't keep him from teaching at St. Louis Junior College or from going on 5 missions trips. And his disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary to Portugal. He moved there alone in 1972, alone. He rented a hotel room and began learning Portuguese. And he found this owner of a restaurant who would feed him and and bathe him after hours. Then he stationed himself daily in a park where he would distribute tracts about Jesus. Within 6 years, Robert had led 70 people to Christ. 70 people to Christ. One of which became his wife. When he speaks, men carry him to his wheelchair upon a platform so he can speak. He lays his Bible in his lap with his stiff fingers. He forces open the pages while people in the audience wipe away their tears. Robert could have asked for sympathy and pity, but he does just the opposite. He holds his bent hand in the air and says, "I have all I need for joy." That's the attitude that I'm looking for. That's the attitude I want to strive to have. I saw a video one time of this older man, probably he was probably around 90 years old, and he was dying in the hospital. And the doctors, it was just moments away, but he was still lucid. And he had his hands up, and he was worshiping God with his last breath, and I could hear him singing a worship song. And he put his hands down, and then he died. That's the attitude I want to have. That's the attitude that I strive to have. And that attitude doesn't come from reading self-help books. That attitude comes from a renewed mind, from a renewed spirit, from a renewed heart, that Jesus has touched himself to make him a new creation in Christ Jesus. I find it both interesting and tragic that the one thing that no person or circumstance can ever take away from us, the awesome power to choose our attitude, but tragically, it's usually the first thing we give away is our attitude. When our jars are shaken, When circumstance comes our way and we have no control over it, and our jar is shaken, our life is shaken, what will come out? What will spew forth? Will it be a sacrifice of praise? We sing a song back in the 90s about a sacrifice of praise. And really what that means is a sacrifice of praise means that it costs you something. It means that you determine in your mind that you are not going to complain, you're going to praise. That when your jar is shaken, out flows an abundance of praise. Out flows from a heart that is clean and pure, words that says, "I have all I need for joy. All I need for joy." So no matter what you're going through, and maybe you're here today and your jar hasn't been shaken, it's been turned upside down. Maybe the jar that you have in your life has been cracked or chunks are missing off of it. Listen to me. Go to the one that will not just repair it, but will make it completely new. That will transform you into something that doesn't resemble who you are today. And as you stand with me this morning, I want you to realize this. No matter what happens in your life, you have the power to either choose to have a right attitude that will glorify God, or have an attitude that will make you feel justified in the stupidity that you're doing. Don't give it away. Hold firm. When your jar is shaken, let the fruit of the Spirit come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, comfort. All of those things flow out of your life. Now listen, I'm not talking about perfection up here. I'm talking about a grace-filled life who wants Christ to be the center and not in the peripheral of their life. So when their jar is shaken, when your jar is shaken, you can know for sure that Christ is renewing your heart and placing a right spirit within you. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank you so much. The Lord, you don't just forgive our sins. That's the beginning. But Lord, you bring healing to our life and you create in something that we could not make ourselves. You restore within us a right spirit. You restore the joy of our salvation. You restore an attitude that brings glory and honor to you. And Father, I pray that when our attitude and when our jars are shaken and outflows this abundance of negativity, I pray, Father, that you would bring conviction to all of our hearts so that we can bring correction immediately. Because according to Ephesians, we have been taught the right way. And so, Lord, help us daily to put on you, to reject how we feel, to reject our circumstances, and to receive you, Father, wholly, completely, in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, we understand today. We understand, Father, that it's all of our attitudes are determined on you. We understand that our attitude reveals our real self. Lord, we also understand that our attitudes determine the success and failure of every relationship in our life. Help us, Father, to choose the right attitude. Because our attitude is always our choice. Always our choice. So, Father, I thank you for giving us the strength to live this life, to serve you, to please you, to give glory and honor to your name. God, we love you with all our hearts. With all of our hearts, we love you. And we give you praise in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I pray that you go out of the sanctuary with a right spirit, with the right attitude. And if you've been convicted today because of your attitude, do this. Here's your steps. You ready? To have a good attitude. Number one, and this is it, the only step. Repent. Repent of your attitude. Well, you don't understand what they did to me. Repent. Amen? Repent. And allow God to cause you to overflow with a right spirit in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming. You are dismissed. Have a great day, you guys.